Our last presenter is Erica Scott. She's a junior research investigator with the Northeast Center for Occupational Health and Safety in Agriculture, Forestry, and Fishing, which is NEC, in Cooperstown, New York. Since 2009, she's been involved with industry surveillance efforts at NEC, as well as guiding the design and startup of the New York Center for Agricultural Medicine and Health Mobile Occupational Health Clinic. That's a mouthful. In addition, she coordinates efforts in logging safety through collaboration with Game of Logging Chainsaw Safety Trainings. She holds an MS in Environmental and Occupational Health from the University of Albany School of Public Health and is currently pursuing a doctorate at the same institution. Erica?
Thank you. Yeah, we like our really long names there. I sort of have an identity crisis problem. Next. All right, so here to talk with you about some preliminary work, and I'll frame it in that at the beginning, so maybe we can have a little discussion at the end, since I have a room full of surveillance folks and epi folks that I don't get to interact with all that often, being with all the farmers, foresters, and fishermen, so I'm thrilled to be here. So nothing to disclose, remember this from last time. So I don't need to preach to the choir, but we'll talk a little bit about the need for ag and forestry surveillance, some overviews of our methods that we've taken on so far, some preliminary results, and how we go about coding what we have defined as an agriculture or logging injury case, and then how do we make that sustainable over time. So 2013 here, again, no surprise to the folks in the room. Ag, fishing, forestry has the lovely distinction of the highest fatality rates, and that has been rather consistent over time. It's a challenge that we're here to work on. So we've had, and I've just spoken with this group in the past about some of the data sources that we're looking at to capture agriculture and forestry-related cases. Some of the challenges we have in a little differently, we can't always go to workers' compensation, we can't always go to some traditional data sources that many folks look at here because they're not using those systems as actively as some other industries. So we've gone to hospitalization data, so we're using ICD codes as we've talked about a lot, and also pre-hospital care report data, also known as ambulance runs. And the nice thing about the ambulance run in certain states in the Northeast and across the U.S. is that some of them retain their narratives, and we're able to apply for those through IRB and review those as well. So we're able to do that with the PCR side, add some cases to the hospitalization side, and then figure out how to classify, and also understand the differences in classification available between the hospitalization data and the PCR data. So we're smooshing these data sets together, essentially, narrowing them down to the cases for ag and forestry, coding them. We don't have a huge office. We do many other projects. How can we make this a little more sustainable over time, a little more, a little faster, we'll say. So this is part of this mission. And again, I look forward to hearing what some folks are doing. As I mentioned, the PCR data with the narrative. And again, as I said, narrative is a state add-on. Not every state collects that. But Maine and New Hampshire data for a three-year period. And it's nice to mention that both states are using the same software for their PCR data image trends. So we have a lot of consistency in how data is collected out in the field and uploaded. And should also mention, even though this is an older data set, PCRs are being uploaded. I could look in the system essentially yesterday what happened in both of these states if needed. So it's sort of opportunity to think about down the road for other occupational surveillance or other types of surveillance is that the timeliness is an advantage, certainly. So in the PCR data, we have a location code, so that farm is a choice for location code, along with things like home and residence, industrial location, place of recreation. Forest or logging site is not one of them. So we were able to identify them through a location code or through a keyword search. So our keyword search, essentially we're doing a lot with text strings. These were the keywords that are defined for the Northeast, for ag, and for logging right now. These were taken mainly out of the National Occupational Research Agenda, Ag, Fishing, Forestry. There's a dictionary of terms in the back, and those are supplemented with sort of a committee that we have at the at NEC. And we're able to adjust this as time goes on, but this is sort of held true for the past few years. So I think it's 134 keywords that we've run through the narratives for both of these states. So to define agriculture and forestry injury, another thing I should mention is that it's not so simple as knowing industry and occupation for these cases. The surveillance system is much more task-based. We have difficulty determining farming, especially for lifestyle purposes. You live on the farm, you work on the farm. You know, sometimes we can't tease apart whether it's a job function or just a function of being at your home. That's not exactly the same for a logging site. However, from an ag or logging source, tractor, bolt, chainsaw, while at an agricultural logging location, and for the logging locations these are all determined by the narratives, or while doing agricultural logging activity. So that is really, C is meant to capture, say, you're a custom farmer and you're moving equipment from one field to another and you're on the roadway and that's actually your location. We would still capture that through the narrative. And I should, the end, the caveat, you know, if you're using your skateboard on the farm, we're not going to count that. If you fall off the commode while you're in your farmhouse, that's excluded. We've seen those. So we run the terms through to determine possible agricultural and logging related cases. So this is where we get into the arduous time process. If it contains a keyword, it's further inspected. For these two states, I believe there's about 15,000 records. We assign those a yes, no, or undetermined. And so those are assigned by two coders. For any cases that were undetermined, we review them by the full research team, which is about an 8-person team. So any true PCR case, and again, I'm really just speaking to the ones that have the narratives now, any true PCR case is entered into our database, and then we code through all of the OIX variables through the FAIC code, which is a farm and agricultural injury classification code, which if we are able to determine work versus non-work status, that gets at that. So we run through this whole, essentially break apart, tease apart that narrative into all of its subcomponents. So we went through the dictionary list already, and for any word on that list that does not return a true hit in 100 instances of the word being found in the free text, that's, you know, cut from the list for that particular state. We do this in each state. That's to say, if you try to use the word log in place of tree or things like that, you know, many different ways log can be used in a medical record. Log wrote the patient, doctor wrote the log, so we had to really narrow this down. So we identified just shy of 1,200 records for the 3-year period for both states, and we've double-coded all of those records, again, for OIX, and that is two-person coding, with resolution for any cases that did not match. And then again, if the two coding pairs could not resolve every one of the four OIX codes for nature of injury, part of body, etc., that would go to the 8-person research team. So I use the term gold standard, but I mean, obviously, what does that mean? We felt as though we've sort of exhausted our options, at least for those particular cases. So needless to say, this took us quite a long time. However, by doing this arduous process, we feel rather confident that what we have coded is pretty well done. We can understand if there was a difficulty between resolution if there's two humans doing coding, so that will help us in the future if we try to apply some more statistical or computer programming. I sort of figured, you know, if two people can't choose, how do we expect the computer to choose? But we'll figure that out. So from here, we're hopefully going to move into something a little faster. But just to have you guys understand the realm of sort of what we're narrowing down to, There was close to 250,000 PCR records for 2008-2009, so looking at 2 years now, just for New Hampshire. We subset down to 1,500 possible cases. We then do the visual review on all of those, down to 357 that contain an agri logging keyword. So this is the, you know, not to use a farming pun, but the needle in the haystack. So now looking at the overlap, the large circle on the right-hand side represents pre-hospital care reports, PCRs, the narrative. The left larger circle is hospitalization cases, which are identified by E-codes, so through location codes of farm and through several other E-codes that would relate to, say, contact by agricultural machinery. We have taken both of these data sets before we've done any subsetting and linked them. We've had through partial identifiers. So we have this whole realm. Only three cases in the whole linked data file were noted as agricultural in both sides of the file. So this just kind of really emphasizes the reason that we can't just use number one data set, and why we can't expect, even if we know that there's supposed to be a case on a hospital record, the likelihood of it actually having a proper E-code, or what we would determine as a proper E-code, is quite slim. We've seen the same sort of pattern in the other states as well. This sort of describes a very similar pattern, a little bit different breakdown, but 250 cases for Maine for those for that two-year time period, 2008-2009. We have four that were found in both data sets that identified as ag in both sides of the equation, essentially. And then this was a little bit more equal split, 100 in PCR data, 146 in the hospital data. If you look in the third tier then, we're able to find out about, okay, so we have 100 PCRs that we've identified. 58 of those have a hospital record associated with no E-code. Now there's limitation because there's no E-codes right now in ICD-9 that relate to logging. And of course, you don't have to get to the hospital. You know, there's that converse problem where you can either take an ambulance or use an ambulance, I should say, never actually go to the hospital, refuse transport, which does happen quite often with farmers and foresters. Or, you know, conversely, you can end up in the hospital without an ambulance ride. But this really just illustrates again why we need both data sets, and that both data sets sort of provide some different information. So I don't need to go through this too thoroughly, but these are the different OIKS categories that we have coded through. Just as an example, this might be sort of small on the screen, but the level of detail for ag and forestry is quite nice using the coding trees. So I have Skidder in there as an example, and we are able to code down to the four-level digits most of the time. That'll be curious to see if we can do that with the computer algorithm as we go forward. When I put this abstract in, I sort of anticipated getting a little bit farther than we have. So, time-consuming, and do something else. We need to start doing something else, too, because if there's not the continuation of surveys like NAS, and we're losing some agricultural injury surveillance and illness surveillance data that we've had historically, we need to think a little more creatively about how we're going to sort of supplement that again. So the goal of sort of narrowing down our time to review would be to really knock out the large categories that we know are happening quite often. And I also think that we might be able to knock out some of the very specific categories that have a very specific keyword associated with it. You're not going to see Feller-Buncher as a combination in many hospital or at many PCR records besides for those that were hurt at a logging site. So we started this process looking at the largest source of injury. And this is another sort of twist on things, because the whole agricultural lifestyle choice. We've included horse as a keyword, and there's been a lot of debate about this in our office, and I would open it up to the audience when we're done. But the ability to determine occupational relatedness, we can do it somewhat for horses. We have a hard time deciding if they're truly agriculture related or if it's a recreational item, but needless to say, people are hurt by horses all the time. So my plan is at least to get this to the injury prevention folks and let them sort of, you know, take it over and help out with this. So then we repeated for horse and went on to the next categories, tractor, tree, some of those major, chainsaw all the time. So we were able to knock out about half of our horse-related injuries. Again, it's a rather specific keyword. And we were able then to take horse and then assign the different event types, so fell, thrown, jumped, and then further down assign the OIX code to whatever degree of specificity we could. So here 1, 3, 2 at the bottom, so not to the full 4. This is on the data set, though, that we've visually reviewed already to determine, yes, it's a true case. So there could be, for instance, we had one town in Maine, Orchard Creek, I believe. So every time Orchard came up or that was mentioned, we'd had to skim that out. So I'm curious, like I say, to talk with the group about ways that we can sort of eliminate some of those issues. Looking at combinations of source and type of injury, again, something like tree and chainsaw, we're able to see when those are combined together. And again, for a lot of the livestock injuries, if they're truly a fall, if they're a crush kicking, we can start to tease those out, at least more quickly get through the bunch to leave the more complicated cases for the human review. So by no means do we intend this process, and again, this is the very beginning of this process, to fully replace human review. But we do hope that we can use some of these methods to get through these data a little quicker, especially if we're looking at more years of data and looking at some other states within our Northeast jurisdiction. And we need to look a little further into keywords that have multiple meanings and how we can sort of work with that, or around that, rather. So again, as I mentioned, the rare cases, and by rare I mean unusual keywords that are related directly to ag or logging. They may need to be reviewed, however, I think once we start including those regularly, that those will come out pretty easily, again, with specific keywords. Let's see here. So, really the next step, this may not be the best way or the most efficient way. I completely realize that. And I think, you know, in reading some of the literature of what other folks in this room are doing and other techniques across the country, looking at ways to determine place within narratives, to take into consideration things like spelling changes, different words for what an EMT will use. We have to think about, is it consistent what EMTs write down? I'd be curious to see if anybody else has looked at those particular narratives in the PCR. I know some of us have looked at medical chart reviews and gone through that data, but it's a little bit different. And, you know, we've seen that forcing drastic changes, we should still be pushing for that, but we're also looking at a way to do some sort of surveillance that's not incredibly costly over time. Data is already being collected for other reasons. If we want to actually keep it going and have some rates that we can look at down the road. So this is for you. This is not for me necessarily for recommendations, but I was hoping, like I say, to chat with the folks here since we have many bright minds in the audience. For those of you that have done any sort of free text analysis, you know, we don't have the staff time nor the money to be applying towards these huge data sets, and any way that we can speed up that process and still have a certain amount of validity would be most appreciated. So these are my friends down my road at my house in the middle of Cooperstown, and I have to say particular thank you particularly to Carla in the audience and then the folks in New Hampshire, and as well as the folks in Maine, because this is sort of the first ones we've gotten data from. That's half the battle with this project is getting data in-house. But we are starting to really learn a lot about what's contained in the data and how it can be used, not only for ag, fishing, forestry, possibly fishing eventually, but also for other occupations. And I think if you haven't looked at PCR data, it might be worth a look in your state, because sometimes they have a work-related checkbox. The location codes could be of value. And again, if your state has decided to keep the narrative, you could choose keywords based on particular industry and occupation and really go to town on some of the narratives. And again, while they may not contain all the cases, like we spoke about yesterday, having the detail of the case. And again, sometimes the pre-event and other things surrounding the injury event could be quite helpful. So that's it in a nutshell. John, you turned it first.
Let me answer your question. Horses are mainly recreational.
Well, no, and we've seen that. We have a lot of teenage girls and a lot of middle-aged women riding.
I didn't want to try and generalize.
No, I'm not generalizing, but I also think that for targeting some information for these folks, we can give it back. I think when I do the final analysis for agricultural cases, I am going to exclude the horse-related cases. However, because it is a pretty telling keyword, and they come up often, and sometimes incredibly serious injuries, which you may not assume, and even some with helmet use, like they'll note all of this in the narrative. I think there could be some efforts, like I say, maybe in more of the injury prevention side.
And I guess another question I have is, how do you guys struggle with situations where you have sources of injury that are somewhat ubiquitous just to urban environments? I mean, things like all-terrain vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're used quite often in farms, and they're actually becoming used almost more than farm tractors.
Oh, absolutely. It's so much easier to get on an ATV and go check your cows than it is to, number one, walk out there, and number two, exactly, get a truck. You know, we do see them more and more just being used for farm work. We do understand that they're going to be used recreationally at some times. We do have difficulty in determining work versus, you know, work-related versus non-work-related. So, in general, they could be misclassified if it was a non-work-related on-farm use of an ATV. Obviously, that does happen. However, the mechanisms usually of what causes the overturn or whatever, you know, we can still learn from that at least to prevent other work-related ATV injuries. Putting, you know, quad bars on the back of all of them, which is not very popular. Oop, we have behind you, Kathleen.
In terms of, Erica, your use or your employment of more automated coding strategies, you said maybe in the future, Bayesian or naive Bayesian.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really just to identify your cases or to really code the injury characteristics or both?
I think both, ideally. And I know that we talked a little bit yesterday about, you know, some folks going maybe in some different directions, and I'd be curious to hear what those may be. You know, I realize there's one challenge in actually identifying some keyword or some set or, you know, set of words and it actually being classified as a yes, no, case or not case.
Right.
And then taking that and then, you know, the process of identifying a source, an event, and then the nature. I mean, that just seems so daunting to me. But, you know, even cutting down on the number that we have to review for a yes or no case could be helpful.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I do.
I may have missed this in your talk, but could you explain a little bit more about what PCR is, a pre-hospital care report?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So pre-hospital care reports are the report that is generated every time an ambulance responds to a call. So it is the EMT's records, notes of the patient assessment, of the location where they're dispatched to. There are times from the 911 call, times from dispatch from their department to the scene, time on the scene, back home, or to the hospital. There are codes in there related to the facility in which they brought them to. There are some scores about type of injury event, if it is an injury event, impressions of the patient, and generally for most injury events, if they do retain the narrative, it's a rather detailed description of an injury case. You know, I tell a story, we had many of them were like this, although not this particular incident, but the EMT would write something like, you know, victim attempted to jumpstart tractor by pushing tractor with bobcat, jumped out of bobcat, ran to the tractor, and then he crushed himself with a tractor wheel. But it would often describe in great detail, or, you know, falling from different levels if they were in the hayloft or on a silo or, you know, in the grain bin or something. So we do have the description, at least for states that retain it. My home state of New York does not retain the narrative and makes me want to cry sometimes. Okay.
So I'm trying to help me here in terms of what format does the narrative have to be in that you can apply the software. So if I have computerized medical records,
mm-hmm.
can I apply the software?
Yes. Yeah.
But what if each hospital has its own? They have a different software.
Right.
A different set.
Well, I'd imagine you could just extract the narrative, just the text line. Some of the text.
But the text can be, a page and a half of hospital summary.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody would have to go in and type that on something else. I'm not clear. I'm trying to think of how we might be able to use it.
Right. So, in an electronic medical record, I would assume that you could export that particular field into SAS and then just run the SAS program on it. We just download our PCR data into SAS and just apply it to a particular field. I think the field is capped at a certain number of characters, but otherwise it's just a free text field. And again, we have to think about there's going to be issues. EMTs, I have noticed, aren't always the best spellers. this could be said about anyone. I could say that about myself, but you have to account for, there's going to be things that are spelled improperly, and if the keyword doesn't have the variations for that, it's going to miss that. So by no means is a perfect system, and again, like I said, this is just the beginning. We started this project with paper, hard copy PCRs. We went through our office in a 10-county region in New York. We went through over 250,000 records and read every single one of them. And then we're able to assign those into batches of injury, non-injury, and then we would filter down again. So little by little, as the transition from the data is going from paper reporting, which some places are still doing, the push is for NEMSIS to go to all electronic reporting. But, trying to kind of get on the bandwagon of them having an electronic text string, ideally you should be able to apply it if it was specific enough to different types of medical data that would have narrative.
No, I just wanted to say I know the NIOSH Center for Workers' Compensation Studies
mm-hmm.
is working on this, and I know BLS is working on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know BLS has had some significant success in certain areas with like a logistic.
Well, this year it looks like we're putting about 25% of our SOC codes that way.
Yeah.
And we hope to expand next year into the other variables as well. We're taking a very slow approach
mm-hmm.
because there's lots of issues that come up from the process. I also share that we use Python and SAS for this process and have a lot of success using that Google maintained language.
Interesting. Right, and I know for industry and occupation there's been a lot of work done for this, and that's why I like coming here because, this is where I get to sort of not only read about what's happening but see what, you guys are actually doing that I can take advantage of in our little office.
So I just wanted to make a comment. It's interesting to look at the narrative text fields, but sometimes when we sort of look for things in our workers' comp data, which is a lot of records,
mm-hmm.
we're trying to combine with other potential indicators of that condition or disease or whatever. So I don't know what's in the PCR data that might be electronic, but combinations of sort of a narrative text field with something else may increase or decrease the probability of a case that we want.
That's actually a really good point that we should look into. And I'm curious too, not only with other variables within the same data source, but in the combination of if we do have quite a few, most of the records have linked, at least if they have a corresponding hospital record. So maybe the hospital record doesn't know that it's some sort of, agricultural case, but maybe one of the diagnostic codes or other types of injury codes might further, flesh out what you're getting at. That's a good point.
Yeah, thanks for the team. Yes, I think Alicia Myers yesterday said that she's really willing to share the codes that
Yeah, I saw that. I quickly scribbled down her email address.
I also had similar experience at the beginning of your presentation, but similar experiences coding events.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a way in the index function to do not. So if you do like
right.
course and not something else.
Yeah, we have done some of that so far. I just didn't show it here, but that's a.
And then did you keep the voice hierarchy too? So like that violence in transportation takes precedence over.
Yeah.
We did the same thing, and I think we did a batch of event coding for two specific industries, and then we did a manual review
mm-hmm.
to verify it, and it did pretty well, like you found in the major event categories.
Yeah, I think again, getting to the major event categories, at least, you know, over time, we can start to look, number one, to verify if they're actually doing what, you know, coding how it should be, and you know, sometimes we may not need. It's nice to have the detail when you want to drill down to it, but the other, you know, important part is that you have just the case. You can do your case counts over time, and then.
I just wanted to add that I think what one thing you demonstrated is that you have this data set from Maine and New Hampshire and not New York, they're right, Maine is.
It's
really a gold standard, and so you have the kind of narratives coded. You have so you could actually use that as your sort of to teach some of these machine learning
right.
text miner type software mm-hmm. to. It's nice to have a gold standard to start with.
Right. We did, yeah, I think, you know, I had to keep on bribing all of my staff to do all of that because it did take quite a long time. But, you know, what we learned from that process was quite valuable. So we hope to, like I said, use that for those particular states and also apply that to the other states that we'll be getting data from. John?
Yeah, just one last thing. I just want to echo what Dave was saying because mm-hmm. I think especially when you start trying to do source of injury,
mm-hmm.
knowing what the injury it was itself may actually help you screen it. Because I can imagine a lot of your logging cases, you're going to have tree and chainsaw from the exact same errors.
Yeah.
And knowing
there were quite a
what
few.
Was the source, is it the chainsaw, is it the tree? And if you look at it and you say it's a crushing injury, it's much more likely the tree if you're saying it's
mm-hmm.
a severe laceration. Something on that line.
Yeah. No, that's also a very good point. Yeah, it's amazing how, well, like we look at all these, amazing how people end up hurting themselves.
All right, well, our session's over. I want to thank all the presenters.